Joe Sakic.
8.5 remaining. They are up by 2 on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now. Bringing it in front, and it's scored! Right in between the hash marks. Huskies win it back, but Sakic in front. Here's a score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Sean Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Sean, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
And Michigan Tech forcing the turnover. Now we'll get it to Light. Light will move it forward. And here comes Misiak. Puts on the brakes as he locks it for a moment. He'll get it back. Sends it towards the goal, but well wide of net. Now Allen, he goes in on the forecheck. Here's a one-timer. Scores! Richards with the ball on the one-timer for the Huskies. His first career goal. They're going to pick it up and save that one. And that is a huge goal for Michigan Tech. 2-0.
Showtime's over. Cooper intercepted. Huskies bringing it down. Thorne bringing it on a 2-on-1. Thorne in front. The shot scores! First goal of the season and of his career for Ryland Mosley. And the Huskies make it 4-1.
Couple of first career goals right there. Pretty cool this week as the Huskies win three times against Ferris State, including the Winter Carnival Series this Friday and Saturday. And we are ready to go with head coach Joe Sean and the Joe Sean Hour. Coach, congratulations. Tough to beat a team anytime, really. But to do it three times in a week like this, I thought it was a real test of the character. And we played some pretty darn good hockey, I thought, all week long.
Yeah, I thought we did as well. The guys played well and executed well. We got we had good third periods on both nights, which is important. We've been starting to show that as a characteristic, and so we're continually working to get better, and that's what this is. It's not a sprint. It's not a one game thing. It's not a you have to win every night type of thing. It's a keep getting better, keep performing, and let the results happen the way they happen.
We played two Tuesdays in a row. We're going to play our third Tuesday in a row coming up tomorrow, and then a week from tomorrow against Lake Superior State. And the amount of games that we're cramming in a short period of time, it doesn't seem to have affected the guys yet. And maybe it's actually helped them in keeping on kind of a torrid schedule and pace to this whole season right now.
Yeah, that could be the pace or the case. It looks like guys seem to be finding their groove more. I've said it before that if you had one drill that you didn't practice all the time, it'd be a scrimmage. But you have to do other things to work on parts of the game in practice that guys need individually. Battle situations that they may not force themselves to get in. They may not get a lot of that in there. Like I notice now, if you look at minor hockey, a lot of what they've done, and we were doing this back in the Sioux years ago, we were really I think influential in doing it when I was coaching juniors and helping coach the minor teams. There was the new development model that they do at USA Hockey, which is set practices kind of that break you up in stations and allow everybody to work on everything so that the dominant players don't have the puck on their stick all the time. Those philosophies still hold true at our level, that you have to create touch situations and different types of touch situations and break things down, break technique down and work on every part of all the players' games. So, but if there was one drill that you'd do, it'd be a scrimmage drill. If that's all you could do, you'd do a scrimmage. It's obviously the most game-like, and all these games back-to-back at this stage of the year don't seem to be hurting us yet. We'll see how our fatigue factor plays in.
Alec Bretzman was named the MVP for the Winter Carnival week, and fitting because, as you had mentioned, that junior class was still looking for their first Winter Carnival championship. They got it this weekend, and nice that one of those guys got the MVP.
It's good that I guess anybody gets it, but there were so many guys that were good. We gave up one goal on the weekend, which means that you know, it's a team effort. There's a lot of players, you know, contributing from the goaltender through the defense into the forwards who are supporting. As we're doing our scoring chance summaries and things like that, we're seeing that the breakdowns or when we give up scoring chances are not team related for the most part. They're individually related. As in the goal the other night, it was a turnover, an unforced turnover where we just passed it to a Ferris State player in the third period and a secondary player went to the net for deflection, quick play, individual type things. And so our game is coming together as a group and as we can focus on some of these individual things, if they keep showing up from, you know, the same players over and over again, well, that's time that we have to address things. That's not happening so much. It's, they're dispersed out and we're not, as a rule, giving up a tremendous amount of chances. So, we're happy with where we're headed.
The Huskies win 3-0 on Friday and 5-1 on Saturday. Blake Piedle getting his third shutout of the season. Coach, in Saturday's game, I know you guys look very closely at scoring chances for and against, and that score of 5-1, as we talked about after the game, was not really indicative of how that game went. Did Ferris State, what were the scoring chances in that game on Saturday? Do you remember?
We gave up 7 against, and I think we had somewhere in the neighborhood of, actually more than you'd think, we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 25-27-4. So, and we had a big third period. We had a lot of scoring chances, probably a dozen or more in the third period. So, where we scored the 3 goals. So I thought we played well in that period. Prior to that, I think we had 16 through 2. And we had somewhere near the 30 mark in scoring chances. So it was actually better, a little bit better than I thought, but a lot of that was third period related, and we opened the game up in the third period. Prior to that, I think there were the chances that we had were something like 16 to 5 or something through 2 periods, which, the night before that was close to what the game totals were. So, we created a little bit more offensively, in the third period. And that's a good sign for us, that we've been able to do that. We did that at Huntsville. And we're doing that, starting to do that somewhat consistently in our third period. Totals for and against, the differential is starting to spread. And that's also a good indicator for us.
Yeah, it did seem like Ferris State had some really good scoring opportunities on maybe some of our, we didn't make many mistakes defensively, but we, on the couple that we did, they seemed like Moyes, I think, had a couple of chances and Norris right in front where, you know, they either fanned on a shot or weren't able to convert the play, and we were able to dodge a couple of bullets there. But it just seemed like maybe through the first period and a half or first 2 periods that maybe they were a little closer, but you had a chance to see that it was heavily in our favor.
Yeah, they certainly had more possession time than they had the night before. So their chances, again, a few of their chances that they received, I couldn't find a. They were earned, well earned chances. They were a couple off of a line rush change where we were caught in maybe a line change, and they were quickly turning it up. So Ferris played hard. They're extremely well coached. Each night they did things a little bit different. And our guys, figured out different ways to be able to attack and eventually found something that worked. But there's no team that's better coached than Ferris State. They have Mark Hoffman, assistant coach, coaching NHL. Drew Famulak, I played with him at Lake State. Tremendous recruiter, does a great job as coach. Bob Daniels has been there for 30 years, 29 years. They have 27 and something like 19 years at Ferris State as a staff. So they've been together a long time. They've taken that team to the Final Four, the five championship game, lost a tight, I believe, a 2-0 game, something like that, to Boston College in the championship game not that long ago. So they know what they're doing. They're not dummies. They do different things, and our guys had to do a lot to figure it out. And that's the encouraging part is that, last year Ferris came in here and very much the same team and beat us. And that was, we split with them and they beat us, 2-1 game with a late goal on a line rush opportunity. And, This year we're finding more ways. I think our guys are maturing more. I think we made a couple of really good additions at Christmas, picking up Tristan Ashbrook and Ryland Mosley. They've both added to our game in different ways and added to our team and giving us different opportunities to do some different things against some different teams. That proved that's something we haven't really done in the past, but in this pandemic year, it was something that was available to us. And so we use that method, and I think that's made us better as well and given us depth and given us good competition for playing every night.
Well, talking about that competition, Coach, you mentioned Ashbrook. He played in the Friday night game. He was not in the lineup on Saturday night. Was he a healthy scratch?
Yes, he was. And the reason being, as I've said before, first of all, the main reason we made a change in Saturday's game, the main reason was that we wanted to get Logan Ganey in the game. He's been practicing well. He's a player that we will probably need down the road, or at least we have to find out what his value will be for us as we wind down in these last eight games and into the playoffs that are going to be quick and fast. And what I mean by that is they're going to be over quickly. They're one weekend at a time and you're done. So we need to know where guys are at. He played very well, like I said, at Ferris State a week ago, and gave us some good depth. And so we wanted to get him in. So then the discussion is, okay, what are we looking for? What makes the most logic to make a change? Now, Tristan does a lot of things well. He makes good plays with the puck. He doesn't hurt you defensively in any way. We'd like a little bit more puck pursuit out of him, a little bit more tenacity, a little bit more pressure, a little bit more elimination of time and space. And the way that we looked at it as a staff is that we had a three-goal lead, I believe it was, going into or what was the first Friday night's game was 3-0, I believe,
yep.
Each period. And so we had a 3-0 lead in a two-game total goal series for the Winter Carnival title. And so, you know, they have to beat us by four to take the title. So we went with who we thought would give us the most energy and the best defensive presence on the ice. And there were several players that we talked about that were in the mix for coming out, but it was a good opportunity to talk with Tristan and if we don't ever encourage that in a significant way, that part of his game, then we're not doing him any favors in his future in the game, or we're not doing the team any favors by overlooking maybe those things. He's a tremendous player. He's going to be a valuable part of this team for as long as he's here. And we want to make sure that he's adding, as everybody is. Logan's the same way. That's the reason that Logan's not in the lineup every night, Logan Ganey. And that's what we've been trying to get out of Logan Piedla and out of Brian Hallinan, and out of the guys that really pressure and dog the puck and then make plays are the players who make the most impact on the game. The players who eliminate time and space and force the opposition to make plays under pressure. And the players that then, when we get the puck, can make plays under pressure and under constraints and under little time and space. Those are the players who make the difference in the games. And we have to put athletes in the environment so that we can evaluate which ones do that the best. And so that was the reason for our change. And it was more for getting Logan Ganey in the game. But it did give us a good look. I thought that Chris Brooks did a very, really good job in, Logan Piedla was just okay at the start of that game. He's been growing. We've been seeing some signs of him coming out of it. But he was just okay. He was a little bit edgy, a little bit herky-jerky in the first part of that game. And Chris put him on the wing because we had Ganey, a centerman, and another centerman in the lineup, and Ganey was starting to make some plays for us. So we put Logan Piedla on the wing, and immediately it resulted in two goals for us. Those guys were in on two goals. So paid big dividends, and I really like what I saw out of Logan Piedla on the wing, because he hunted, he pursued, he came out with pucks, made some plays, and ended up getting four or five scoring. It was involved in four or five scoring chances once that change was made. So different things happen for different reasons, and I think what we saw out of that is a different dimension that we can utilize throughout the game.
See, that's the kind of stuff that I wish we could have you mic'd up for. You and Brooksy and Dallas for those mid-game changes, you know, and why you're doing it and, you know, what you're seeing. Because you listen to, like, Glenn Sather talk about when he used to know Gretzky was going. Once he got those cheeks rosy, he could see that Wayne was ready to go, and he'd start double-shifting him and kept throwing him out there and know that he was in the groove. And you guys obviously saw something in Logan Gainey, made that adjustment, And it made a difference.
It did. Logan scored for us, and he was in on a few other scoring chances. So as long as his pursuit, his hunt is good, between either he or Logan Piedla, one of them needs to be going for us on every night. We need to find a way to get one of them for the balance that we need. Arvid's been pretty consistent for us, highly consistent for us. His compete, his love for the game, his understanding is growing exponentially. He and Hirose, I'm sure, are the front runners for Rookie of the Year in the league, and these last few games will be critical with regard to that. Arvid is leading all freshmen in scoring in the league, doing a great job for us. Justin Misiak continues to evolve at the center position, and now he's taking critical faceoffs where he wasn't even a centerman before. I don't know how many faceoffs he took in his first 3 years here, and now he's taking critical draws and playing in every critical situation for us, power play, penalty kill, every situation. And so we need growth around that as well to make sure that we have that. Nardella is evolving. I thought he had he's having, you know, instead of one game forward, one game kind of backwards, now he's at two games forward and a game backwards. Well, now he's at, like, you know, a period where he's not involved, and we're able to help him snap in, and the thing is he's playing with the puck on his stick, and he is creating time and space. He is creating opportunities on the rush and things like that. And he's proving he's getting some value for us. So at the center position, so we're getting some balance there. We're getting some depth where we can try to figure out what gives us the best look. And again, we're getting that healthy competition for playing time, and that's forcing, again, further growth within our team.
Well, the thing that you talk about, Nick Nardella, and I know we talked about him after the games, and about the time and space he is creating out there, and there's just the confidence he has now with the puck in just the few games that he's really started to dominate at times when he's out there. And for me, Coach, when I am really buy in to somebody who's changing the look of the team, you know, we're watching it live right there. We get to see it boom right there. When people that I talk to, Husky hockey fans, that are watching it on the stream, and they bring up something like Nick Nardella's time and space and how he's starting to get separation from the defenders, to me, to be able to notice that on a TV screen that, you know, isn't always the easiest to do, must really mean that this is happening out there.
Well, also what it means is the people in this area are educated in hockey.
Right.
When they're talking about separation and time and space creation, what they're picking up on TV, they're understanding, they're seeing the game, and they have an understanding of the game. So just as and that's good accountability for us, because just as we can't, the players are held accountable by us in that. We don't allow, you know, Nick's biggest thing that I talked to him, and that my concern for him coming in here was that his growth, I would have liked to have seen better at the junior level, because he went from the USHL, where he was there young, and then ended up in the North American League. Some would say that's a little bit of a step backwards. And, he was right around a game guy, maybe a little under a point a game. A guy in the North American League. He's being a better college player, and what I saw of him there, and even in Green Bay, and I remember standing with his father at a Green Bay tryout one time, and it was just his he needed to get more involved. He needed to want that puck on his stick. He was, you know, he wasn't driving the net. He was always a soft ice waiting for the puck and things like that. And it hasn't been easy on him. We've held him, you know, we've challenged him and held him accountable and pointed it out. And none of us first of all, you have to believe it's something's a weakness or it's something that's not healthy for you, to change that. And if you don't accept it, you fight it. And to his credit, yeah, he didn't like it, I'm sure. That, you know, what we're telling him is we need these battles. You need to come out with these pucks. You know, these are 50-50 battles that, you know, you have to be at least 50% on those. We need to drive possession, you know, those types of things. Or you're waiting over here, and we need you close to that battle because you're the guy, you're the secondary support on that needs to, you know, go in for steals and things, different situations like that. Well, he's learned, if we just put him in the lineup, that's where I said that our junior class in some ways, we hope that we did them service because they immediately, when they came in here, took over our team when they were freshmen. And that was a tough year. You know, we had a good start and things, but that was a tough year because there was a lot of guys that were upperclassmen that wanted, hey, it's my turn now. And, you know, we felt you have to earn that. And really right now, the freshmen are outplaying you. So the team was kind of, you know, we knew that was our future with that team. And they played. And a lot of them played regardless because they were our best players. Regardless of going through some of these hard lessons, we tried to hold them accountable. But the only way you really hold someone accountable is by taking away what they value most. And that might sound harsh, but they want to play. And if they aren't fitting a certain mold or evolving, then and you're still playing them, they aren't. What's their incentive to change their ways to be more productive? But to their credit, to the junior class's credit, they've continued to grow, continued to evolve. I mean, Blister's going to get 20 points this year. Bots could get 20 points this year in a condensed season. Those are good years. I mean, heck, Blister could get 25, 27 points this year. I think he's at 20 now, I think, as a matter of fact. So he could get 30 points this year, which would be more than he had last year in the entire season. So, you know, we're getting growth out of all of our guys. We have guys in the top, you know, moving up in the top of the league scoring. We have defensemen, three defensemen or so in the top 10, I think, or the top 12 in league scoring. So our goaltending is second in the league. And so everything, every indicator as far as the program health is good. Our freshmen are contributing. Our sophomores are now contributing with the emergence of Crespi and Leip. Is playing a significant role on defense for us, and obviously our junior class is very good, and our seniors are pushing it and doing all they can. So I like where we're headed. I think we've done a decent job. You know, we certainly have to continue to grow, and we can't get complacent. But our players have done a really good job in executing and trying to make Michigan Tech the best program that they can make it.
All right, we'll take a break. Be back with more. Hey, if you have a question for Coach Sean, you could email it in if you're listening live on Monday morning here. But get it in quick so we can get those questions started soon. The email address, dj@themix93.com. More of the Joe Sean Hour right after these.
This is John Nelson, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor. It's time for some New Year's resolutions. Don't overreact to events. This spring, the market plunged, but patient investors were rewarded when the markets bounced back. Also, be prepared. Events like the pandemic are obviously rare, but it's never a bad idea to have an emergency fund. These aren't the only financial resolutions you can make, but following these may help you develop habits that could benefit you in 2021 and beyond. Give me a call at 482-8680. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Introducing new Budweiser Nitro Gold. A lager brewed with toasted caramel malt and infused with nitro for a finish as silky smooth as a jazz sax solo. New Budweiser Nitro Gold. So smooth. Available now. Enjoy responsibly. 2020 Anheuser-Busch Budweiser Nitro Reserve Gold Lager. Ale in Texas, St. Louis, Missouri.
Have you ever wondered why eyeglasses cost so much? Glasses have been around 700 years. Isn't technology supposed to get less expensive over time? Well, there's a simple explanation. For decades, the eyewear industry has been dominated by a single company that's kept prices artificially high while reaping huge profits.
Yikes!
Warby Parker was created to change that. They design and produce their own eyewear and then sell it directly to you for a fraction of the price. Warby Parker's high-quality glasses start at just $95, including your prescription. And if you need an updated prescription, they've got a few easy ways to help you get one. Just go to warbyparker.com to try 5 pairs of frames for free. They'll ship them to you to try out for 5 days. If you find a style you like, they'll send you a fresh pair with your prescription. Easy. Go to warbyparker.com to pick your 5 frames to try on at home for free. That's warbyparker.com to get started for free. warbyparker.com.
Checks down there. Centering pass out the post. It went through goaltender Stein from Bretzman off of the post. They're going to look at this just to make sure. It was waved off as no goal, and they'll take a look at this.
Well, they ruled it a goal, and a great job by the officiating crew there. The referee that waved it off right away, but immediately after he waved it off, he said, we're going to look at this, because it just was such an awkward carom off of whatever it had hit. We thought it probably hit the post because the referee had waved it off, but and to his defense, it from where we were, we could not tell, even though we could see it go in and out, we could not tell exactly what had happened. Did you have any view of that at all, Coach, from the bench?
No, but Jake Crespi did, and he told us, he came and said, Coach, I was in. That was in. Make sure they look at it. And so when he said that, I was quite certain that it was in. So because he was right there on it and had a good look at it, as did the referee. But it didn't go in by much. It looked like on the replay about 6 inches inside the pad, and for some reason it hit the pad at the bottom of the net and popped and came right back out.
Yeah.
In a similar way, but a little bit different than it would off the post. Like, it didn't shoot out hard. So the referee made the call that he saw, and I can see where he'd make that call. Jake Crespi was right there and had good view, and he said, Coach, it was in the net.
Yeah, and I'm sure everybody, like, including the referee, just like us, we're like, we know what we saw, and we know it didn't seem right, but we couldn't actually, you know, it was hard for the naked eye to tell that it actually went in and then came out. But they made the right call, and obviously on video replay it was an easy call to make. Coach, I wanted to talk a little bit about Tommy Paratino back in the lineup on Friday. Got a goal, had a tremendous scoring opportunity on Saturday night that he wasn't able to punch in, but just such a great addition back to the lineup.
Oh, he's it felt so good to have him. To have him on the ice. He's our Pavel Datsyuk. He's got those strong hands. He comes out of battles with the puck. He's got a very creative mind in those tight battle situations, much like Datsyuk, where he can come out, you know, he just all of a sudden he does something, and he's the guy real quickly that comes out with the puck on his forehand, and he's able to make plays. He had 12 shots on goal on the weekend. I believe that was tied for the lead in the league for shots on goal in the weekend. Lots of scoring chances he was involved in. We eased him in, actually started him out a little bit slow on Friday night with ice time, holding him back just a little bit, and then rode him a little bit later to get his legs to get him some conditioning, but handled him in that fashion. And then Saturday he was right ready to go. And now he'll have three games in 5 days or something like that. So this might be a little test for him, but we have to get his conditioning level where, because he's a game breaker. If you remember the playoff series last year at Northern, he had alone, let alone everything else he had two empty net goals for us that really put each of those games away. So he's a valuable part of, as valuable part of our team as we have, and we need him at his best. And it was great to have him back on the ice.
Coach, Jerry McGinnis spoke after the Saturday night game to everybody that was in the house there at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena. And, just thinking about her speaking always kind of gets me teary-eyed, and it always does at the rink there. And what is amazing to me, and I know we probably say this every year, people are probably sick of me talking about it, but the respect that she gets from the opposing team when she is speaking, it's um it it it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I reference that as poise. She has tremendous poise. People are just automatically attracted to her, just her presence alone. Some people have that charisma, and she has that. And then she speaks so eloquently at all times. She, you know, her comments are always, she thanked Fair State for their efforts. She thanked, or she said how it was nice to see some people in the arena, and she looks forward to the day when it can be full again. Great. So she's so emblematic of all the people that Laura and I have met here in this area. Hardworking, humble, but yet a sternness and an expectation to produce and be involved in the community and things like that. So it was great to see her from across the rink, and I saw Scott. I didn't see Betty, but I saw Scott over there. Betty might have been there as well. But it was great that they showed up, and how it was handled on the ice was probably the right way. And they weren't on the ice, and the players went and picked up the trophy and things just off of a table.
Yeah, and you're not, I mean, most people know this, but you're not going to out-talk her with the game of hockey. You're not going to out-talk her with the game of hockey as far as her knowledge of the actual X's and O's. It's incredible. We shouldn't be surprised, but I think she still impresses a lot of people when she does start talking a little bit about the X's and O's of the game.
Yeah, she's also got that ability. If she makes a little comment to you at a luncheon or something like that, she has enough history and things. You know, you kind of have to, you think a little bit about, okay, what is she's being polite, what's her intent?
Yeah.
what is she saying there, like, you know? And but, you know, they always talk about the one thing that has so impressed me, and you and I've talked about this before, Dirk, is that, you know, they said, you know, 98, the proudest thing for Coach McGinnis was not the championships, it was that 98% of his players graduated. I'd like to know what our percentage is. I'm going to ask that question and try to find out what the answer is to that here, because that is a good emphasis. And when we meet the players from the past in the reunions that we've had here with the championship teams that have come back, I believe the 65 team, 73 was it the other team that came with but when they came back with Jimmy Ward and those guys, so classy. Their stories are all, you know, Stu Osland, all those guys. Their stories are about the slide rule, you know, which is the award for the student and the competition for that. And it was the jokers on the team and within those groups, you can tell, were the guys that weren't the drivers on the ice. Because the drivers on the ice, again, the Mike Zeus, the Stu Oslins, the people I've met like that, they're pretty quiet. And the guys that I think that lightened the mood a little bit, that probably didn't play as much or maybe weren't as significant, like Laurie and those guys, those guys are all really quiet. And then the mood guys were the supporting cast. So that was their niche on the team. So, Great way to, I mean, it's a great model to look at when you're around those champions.
Absolute treasure, Jerry McGinnis is, and we are so fortunate. And again, every time she speaks at that Winter Carnival, it really brings tears to the eyes. And I loved watching, Bob Daniels and his coaching staff on the bench there. I mean, it's not easy. You just lost a couple more games, but the utmost respect for her and the program is shown by that coaching staff, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it's, like I said before, if there was a program that I would like to go just sit around and learn from, I think someone asked last week, who would you like to go coach? I said, well, I can tell you the team I'd like to go just sit and listen to. And be a fly on the wall, and that's the Ferris State staff, because there's a lot of knowledge there. They try a lot of different things. You know, the defensive zone coverage that we use now, was really the ideas that I got from it are really a takeoff of what Ferris was doing back in the old CCHA, back when they were winning, you know, finishing in the top four, and it was like, how are they doing this? And they didn't play a soft game. They didn't sit back and just play defense, but they played an aggressive defense. And a lot of the double down philosophy that we have, the swarm technique came from them. So there's a lot of I enjoy that staff a great deal.
All right, we'll take a break. Be back. Your questions coming up in just a little bit here on the Joe Schon Hour, and lots more coming your way. If you do have a question and you're listening Monday morning live, you still have time to get one in. DJ@themix93.com is the email address. DJ@themix93.com. We'll be back with more of the Joe Schon Hour right after this.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, your go-to locations for officially licensed Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Visit us at bookstore.mtu.edu for our store hours as well as safe, quick, and easy shopping. Curbside pickup is available at University Images at the Student Development Complex. Order online, at checkout choose in-store pickup, and we'll contact you when your order is ready. Gift card options are available. Shop local, support local. We thank you for your patronage.
Today tastes like movie night.
Okay, whose turn is it to choose?
And everyone's favorite hit, pizza and Coke. It tastes like a passionate debate. And settling for a classic.
Okay, pepperoni then.
Today tastes like front row seats for all. Like cushions and popcorn. And counting the seconds.
Pizza's here.
Today tastes like a slice of the action.
Hey, hit the light.
We belong here and now. And it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
Don't forget, no family movie night is complete without a big comfy couch, your favorite pizza, and some delicious ice-cold Coke. Nothing tastes like everyone you love and everything you like coming together. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
February is a cold, short month, but the deals are hot at Bucco's in Calumet. All six packs of canned 12-ounce beer on sale. All 2 liters, $2 for $3. Pepsi 12 packs of cans, $2 for $10. All 28-ounce Powerades, only $1. Grab some Skinny Pete's baked goods from their ever-growing inventory, along with your favorite frozen foods. Stay warm this winter with Kiwanis alpaca gear. Pick up your snowmobile, trail stickers, ice fishing licenses, and bait. All sales do not include taxes and deposits at Bucco's. Leave your request on what you'd like from Bucco's food department.
Welcome back to the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Before we get to your questions, let's talk a little bit about the other series that were going on. WCHA series this past weekend. Lake State, who we will be playing on Tuesday. We'll get to that in just a moment. Minnesota State over Huntsville, 5-0 on Friday, and the final on Saturday. Or I should say that was Thursday, Friday. 4-1 on Thursday, 5-0 on Saturday. And then you look at the Northern Michigan Bemidji State Series, the Wildcats, 5-1 on Friday. Then they win it in overtime on Saturday by a score of 3-2. And what were your thoughts on that sweep there for the Northern Michigan Wildcats, Coach?
Well, good for them. Bemidji is a quality team. We know that. I picked Bemidji actually in my knowledge to win the league this year. I thought they returned. I thought that Mankato lost a lot and Bemidji lost the championship last year on the last game of league play. Had they won that game, they'd have been tied and Bemidji would have won the league. So I thought that they returned the most players and, had their solid goaltending as both teams do. But as Mankato has shown, they just reloaded and had enough guys coming in and enough guys ready to step in to make a difference and again to flex their muscle a little bit. But it was a good series. We got to see a little bit of it. I haven't watched a ton of that because they're not in our prep work, but after the game on Saturday night we turned that on and watched a little bit of the game. And Northern Michigan is playing. I did watch some of their hockey yesterday against Lake State in the prep work for this weekend, and they're Northern's playing good hockey. Laughlin's back, and they picked up a goaltender just very recently, within the last 3 weeks or so, from the North American League. He's playing immediately, and they've won something like 6 of 7 or 5 of 6 or something like that. So they have it going in the right direction. They're scoring goals, and they're defending well enough. So Northern's back to where they they're used to being. So that was a good series.
Pete Viette gets the game winner on Friday night for Lake State over Bowling Green, down at Bowling Green, and then the Lakers win also on Saturday. So big sweep for Lake State University over the weekend.
Yeah, they're good. They're big. They're strong. They defend. They have good size and strength on their defending. They've got some creativity up front. A lot of players on their team are getting involved. Calder, Mira. You know, there's a lot of players up there. The big Erickson is doing a great job for them. Big 24. Their defense are getting involved. And like again, they're big and strong. And you know, they had a couple weeks ago. They had a tough series, two overtime games with Northern Michigan. Each team won. They scored two goals in the last minute with the goalie out to send that game into overtime. The second game that Northern Michigan ended up winning in overtime. So they're good. They do everything well. And as we know, Bowling Green's not an easy place to play. The one thing that was good in that game for Lake Superior is the penalties were down. They were like 3-3 or something like that in the game. And that, you know, when if you can play Bowling Green 5-on-5, they're a good team, but they're a lot more manageable because the power play is that good.
Is there a big difference, Coach, between our team and Lake Superior State back when we played them in the first series to what we're expecting coming up on Tuesday and a week from Tuesday? Are we a different team? Are they a different team, good or, you know, better or whatever?
We'll see. We'll see tomorrow. You know, we certainly have a lot of different elements to our game, and they have different elements to their game, and their players are a lot of their players are more experienced and evolved, and a lot of our guys are younger and evolving. So what they had this weekend that they didn't have against Northern a couple weekends ago was Mittens was back, and I'm not sure if he was one of their COVID athletes or not, and why he didn't play. They played two different goaltenders against Northern, but then this weekend Mittens was back, their starting goaltender, and that certainly made a difference for them. So, but we'll see. We're looking forward to the game. I'm sure they're looking forward to the game, and we get them Tuesday, and then we each play weekend series against somebody, and then we get them the following Tuesday again. So we're looking forward to playing them. They're looking forward to playing for us. These are big league games.
All right, Coach, let's get to our questions from our listeners here today. And our first question is, Coach, when evaluating players to recruit or on your team, when making up the lineup and making decisions on that, do you check their plus minus, or is that a stat that's typically not that helpful?
We check everything. But we go by performance first. You know, we go by what we see in practice, I would say, to start with, to get in the discussion. And then we you know, history obviously plays in a little bit to it, because we have some guys that have practiced very well over time, but when they get in game situations, they aren't as effective. And you know, Tyler Shilass said it really well the other day. We were watching a game, and we were in Bowling Green or Alabama or someplace, and we were watching Dallas play, and both Tanner and Joel were playing. They were up from the taxi squad and they were playing. And Tyler was saying how important it was when you get that chance to be ready and to utilize it. As an example, Logan Ganey comes in the other night and he scores and plays well, and that's where it starts. That's where it starts. But when you go in and, you know, and you're saying, okay, I just got my feet wet in that game. Now the next one, that next one may not come. And that's the way it is in athletics when you have numbers and things like that. So, you know, we look at everything. History does play in, because if a player goes in over time and, you know, and you see the same that you saw before and you don't see growth or you don't see an impact, then, you know, there's a lot of things that go into it. So everything is, you know, people might be surprised. Our leading plus minus guy, at least going into Saturday night, is, I don't know, who would you say it would be, Dirk?
I would say it would be Trenton Bliss, but maybe not.
Leip.
Oh, wow.
Chris Leip, plus +7 going into the game. So, you know, there's a lot. We look at everything. And, you know, at Christmas time, Buckley was, I think Buckley's plus +6 now, or plus +5, plus +6, I think. Maybe, and you know, who would have thought that? You know, that's what got Rocky kind of going at beginning of the year, but, you know, early in his career. You know, he led us in plus minus his sophomore year. He hardly played his freshman year. Sophomore year led us in plus minus with like a plus 11 or something like that. Was up in, actually in the league and leading the league at one point. So, you know, you make the most of your opportunities and then you take it from there, and that's what makes or breaks a career.
Next question for you, Coach. This listener says, our boys do not celebrate a goal as enthusiastically as other teams. Is that on purpose?
No, it's not on purpose. We have a lot of guys with a very low pulse. I mean, a lot of guys with a very low pulse. We talk about it all the time. Like, you know, you have a conversation with somebody. I mean, you could tell me, hey, very sorry, your dog just got hit by a train. Okay, coach, thanks. You know, we have a lot of guys that just have a very low pulse. Bretschman, I mean, I don't think anything really overly excites a lot of these guys. I think it's internal. I think they're probably like a duck where above the water they're just graceful and calm, and underwater they're paddling like hell. So, and I think inside they're boiling, but on the outside they're just very laid back.
Well, here's an interesting question for you, Coach. Are there some arenas that you've played in or that you know of while you're coaching that have little quirks, talking about Zamboni door, bad bounces, hard or soft bounces off of the end boards, uneven glass or dashers?
Not so much that we prepare for. What we prepare for more is the Ferris State is a small rink with a very small neutral zone. Regardless of what anybody says, it's a small rink with a small neutral zone. And kind of egg shaped, oval shape, where everything kind of bounces, it comes into the middle of the rink. And then, you know, you have, the Alaskas and Northern Michigan with Olympic size sheets. Those change the way you play. You have to do things a little bit differently. Your focus has to change just a little bit in those areas where you kind of make two rinks out of one and play it a little differently. So, but as far as quirks, back in the day, the old Ohio State rink had some quirks in it. Low ceiling, bad boards, things like that, but not so much anymore.
Next question for Coach. Was it difficult facing the same team three times in a row, almost like an NHL playoff series? And how did you keep the team on their mental edge and players focused, or was that not really an issue?
That wasn't an issue. And what it probably did for us is it condensed some of our prep work into review and subtle changes versus overall, you know, like we're doing now for Lake State, overall reprep. So it probably helped both staffs in that regard. You know, it was more of a chess match of thinking, okay, if I was them, what would I change? What will we expect? And I think in some of those ways we were right, in some of those ways we were wrong and had to adjust.
Next question, Coach. In fact, a couple of people have emailed this, and can you tell us how much you know about Carson Bantle and when he might return, and how is Caden Bailey doing?
Caden's doing great. It's hard. I'm sure it's hard on Caden as it is on many of our players when you carry a larger roster, which we chose to do for a couple of reasons. Number one, due to COVID, we've taken a lot of precautions due to COVID on separation and rooming and things like that, so that we will have enough to play games, give ourselves the best chance to have enough to play games. I credit our administrative staff, Suzanne and everybody for their guidance in that. So we carried a larger roster, and with that, there's a lot of players that aren't playing at all or on a regular basis, and that's not easy. That's not easy on them. I you know, you can't. No matter what you do, you can't. It's what means the most to them, and we're denying some players that. So it's got to be hard on them. But all of our guys, Caden and several others, have been incredibly professional and showing the individuals that they are by doing the role and doing the best they can to help the team get better. Regarding Carson, he's still out. He's not even on campus. He's doing his classes virtually and things and rehabbing and so you know, the training staff will let us know when we're getting on a, you know, play with pain type deal or something like that. And then when we get him on the ice, and when we get to that, we'll start evaluating him, as to where he's at and get a better read.
Here's the next question for you, Coach. How much better do you think Ferris is than their record? And they go on to say that it seemed like in the first Ferris series, the Bulldogs seemed an evenly matched team, but this past weekend it seemed we had the Bulldogs' every move figured out. What changed?
Well, they're made for their rank. They recruit for their rank, and they're always tough in the rank. I go back to a couple questions ago. That is a rank that has its, if there's a rank that has its quirks, that's the rank that has its quirks. So many things play into weekend to weekend. I wouldn't say we had them figured out. They were 2-0 game going in the third period the first night, 2-0 game going in the third period the second night, and they scored and make it 2-1. It's 1-0 at one point in the second game, and they hit a goal post, or maybe that was the first game, I don't know. But it was, our guys came out a little energized and, had a little bit of incentive to be home. And they had to do the travel like we've been having to do, and that takes a lot of guys. So they're now, are they better? Yeah, they are. I'll go back to what I said earlier. They're learning how to win. They need to learn how to win with this group, and they will learn that. But Bowling Green, one of the coaches intentionally did it so I would hear. But I was up in the booth after the Saturday game, just getting finished with my interview with you, and said the best team we've played all year is Ferris State. And that was just a few weeks ago. Bowling Green felt the best team that they had played all year. And that was after just getting off the ice and beating us twice was Ferris State. So now they've run into Mankato and Lake State. So they may change that a little bit, but Ferris State is especially on their rink. Is a good hockey team.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with our final segment of the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93. And thank you for all of your questions, everybody, today. And we'll talk just a little bit more about the big game coming up tomorrow afternoon at 2 against Lake Superior State. The Joe Schaan Hour continuing after these.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Trevo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
This is Sarah. Leave a message.
Hey, Sarah, I wanted to catch you before you left. Don't come to our house for the party. There's been a change in plans. We got into some twisted tea, hard iced teas, and one thing led to another. And now we're at the billionaire's house, baby. Yes, the one with the airstrip. Look, the password at the gate is lobster. You gotta get here. Whoa, that's a llama.
Twisted tea. Keep it twisted!
Please drink responsibly.
What's in store this week at Staples?
A big deal on ink. That's kind of a big deal.
Prepare your business for a big year with everything you need to be organized and productive.
Like storage solutions, the latest tech, and office essentials like paper, ink, and toner, all at amazing prices.
And now at Staples, you'll earn 40% back in rewards when you spend $85 on ink or $200 on toner.
Set your business up for success and save at Staples. Ends 2/2021. In-store only. Visit staples.com/40inrewards for details.
You decided to upgrade your outdoor deck, so you ordered the essentials: a power washer, a set of patio chairs, and a shiny new grill. And you use your Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card, choosing to earn 3% cash back on online shopping and up to 5.25% as a preferred rewards member, which you put towards your most essential deck addition: a bird feeder. Apply for yours at bankofamerica.com/more rewarding. Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Head coach Joe Schaan getting ready for the game tomorrow afternoon. A 2:07 start. That means right around 1:30. We'll be on the air with our pregame right here on Mix 93 WKMJ. I love these early games. And coach, how do you feel about the time of this game here tomorrow afternoon?
I like it. It'll give us a chance to do our prep work again for to start getting ready for our games on the weekend. We'll still be able to work after the game tomorrow night, and then get ready for practice on Wednesday and get things going. So I like it. I think the teams like, especially the get out games. It's like Major League Baseball where you play that 3-game series and the Sunday game is often, or even an afternoon game on a Wednesday or Thursday is off, a get out game where it's an afternoon game where you can go, where you travel and you get home that much earlier.
Yeah, and Lake State coming in with a 9-4-3 overall record. We have won 6 in a row. They, of course, coming off that big sweep down at Bowling Green this past week, and this should be a really good matchup. Earlier in the year, we opened up the year down at Lake State, taking them on and tying nothing-nothing with Mark Sinclair getting a shutout in a tie, and then only scoring one goal on Saturday night, and things got away from us a little bit in that third period. But again, what kind of a matchup are you expecting in this game Tuesday afternoon?
I think the two teams are similar in a lot of ways. I like their talent level. Again, I've mentioned Calder. Valette's a very good player. Muka Bowden's a good player, a very good player for them as well. Hampus Eriksson is a big, strong. You'll notice him right away, number 24. Mira Yukimura from Japan is plays with a ton of energy out there. Percelli is a transfer from Duluth. He's a good hockey player with a lot of creative skill, a lot of offense. A lot of him on defense. They've got some good size and skill in guys like Rydell. He's a tremendous player for them. Kybel is probably similar in a lot of ways for us to a player like Goetze. He's that strong, sturdy type of kid that makes plays. They added a big forward in Benito Posa, starting to play for them. He's doing a good job. Jeffers is really starting to show an impact in what I saw from him. So they have a lot of players that are very good and fun to watch. They're a veteran team. They like their group going into the year. They got an early start. They started skating in July. We got on campus in July and started skating as soon as classes started in early August. So they got a really good jump on everybody this year, and I think that's led to them having a great start and building confidence as a team. And they've kind of been able to, in some ways, carry that through.
We've got a tough lineup to crack right now, Coach, for players that aren't in the lineup. You touched on it, getting guys like Logan Ganey in and having him have success early in that game coming back in is huge. Do you foresee much as far as any changes going into tomorrow afternoon's game?
We're going to talk about that right now as a staff. Everybody's doing their individual work right now, getting ready for practice today and getting our prep work done. We'll get together and brainstorm a bit as to what everybody individually thinks are key points that we have to emphasize really in one day of practice and some video in terms of review and growth from last weekend and in specific to Lake Superior. So there could be changes, should be minimal based on injury. We'll make a decision in goal. I think our defense has been relatively set. I think Datum is practicing much better in the limited time he seems to be in a better place, mentally in focusing on getting better. We'll keep evaluating that.
And Coach, you mentioned we've talked to you and asked you how much you notice the fans, and usually you say you really don't, but you did mention this weekend that having those students in there, the 100 or however many they were allowed, made a difference, and some of the players said that too.
Yeah, we did for sure, and it was nice. I think on the road, we played so many road games. The road didn't seem to matter. It didn't seem to make any difference. So maybe it wasn't intimidating or things like that. But it was nice to hear those voices at home. And again, my wife was laughing at me. I said, it was nice to hear the Misfits up there, or the pseudo Misfits. Well, she didn't hear me say or the, and so she thought I was calling all them pseudo, like wannabe Misfits or something like that. And I don't know if they were Misfits or if they were just students. I don't know if they were actual parts of the group or not, but they acted like it, and so it was great to hear them.
Game time tomorrow, 2:07 at the John McGinnis Student Ice. We'll have the broadcast for you right around 1:30 here on Mix 93. Coach, good luck. Enjoy the practice today and getting ready for tomorrow afternoon's games. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, sir.
Head Coach Joe Sean on the Joe Sean Hour.